The Old Testament gives us vivid word pictures of where forgiven sin ends up. Those images give us sinners real hope. We can run the race of life in freedom once we understand that, as far as God is concerned, our sins have been buried in the depths of the sea. So if God has pronounced us clean, who are we to hang on to bitter memories? Today, where God puts forgiven sins. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series on what happens after you've blown it. He's teaching us what God does with forgiven sin, and that includes getting it as far from us as possible.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God carries them away. He takes them away. He buries them and says, I'm actually removing them so that they are no longer an issue. So that he cancels them, that he does not remember them, and he carries them, that he might not revisit them. You and I revisit them all the time, but he says, I cast them into the depths of the sea. Be free. Be free. In fact, in the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, there is a very interesting story in the Leviticus chapter 16 of what the children of Israel did every year. And this, of course, was powerful symbolically. What they had to do is to choose two goats. And then the lots were cast, and the one lot that would become the Lord's goat, that goat was sacrificed. The blood of the goat was put on various parts of the altar, and that goat represented the atonement that would be coming through Jesus Christ centuries later. But God knew that in order to illustrate what Jesus actually does for us, you need two goats. One that would die and make the atonement. And then there would be another one who would actually take the sins away. This was called the scapegoat. Azazel, the escape goat. And the scripture says that Aaron was supposed to confess all of the sins of Israel on the head of this goat. I'd love to know how long that confession took. I can imagine him with his hand on the head of this goat, and he goes on praying and praying and praying, and a little kid tugs at his mother's dress and says, Mommy, what's he doing? Why is he taking so long, Mommy? Well, it depends, of course, upon how many sins he confessed and whether he just did them in general categories. If we had to do that today, can you imagine how we would have to confess moral uncleanness, materialism, self-will, stinginess, a lack of love for God, a fear of man, and we could go on and on and on and on. But after the sins were confessed, the Bible says that the goat was to be led out of the premises and to be taken in the wilderness. Later on, tradition says that this goat was actually taken and pushed over a cliff to die. Why would they do that to this goat that left the premises? I'll tell you why. Nobody, remember now, that goat was loaded, all right? That goat has upon him the sins of all the people. And nobody wanted this goat to show up in his backyard and say, hoo-hoo, here I am. No, you don't want that goat. You don't want that goat in your backyard. A young man by the name of Rob Bell, who preached on the 16th chapter of Leviticus and did so very effectively, said that one of the ways in which we can fight the devil today is to say to the devil, the goat is gone. There's no goat around here. The devil comes to you and says, oh, all of the sin is laid on you. I'm sorry. The goat is the one bearing the sin, and I don't see the goat. The goat has left the premises. And so it is. Now, what about Jesus? What does the Bible say about him? You remember it says in Isaiah 53, he hath carried our griefs and carried our sorrows. Because he not only dies to make a sacrifice for sin, but once that sacrifice has been made and it's been received on behalf of his people, the sins are actually carried away. They are taken and they are done with, cast into the depths of the sea, no longer held against us. We may hold them against ourselves. We may doubt God's ability to forgive us, but God says, from my standpoint, I don't see them. I don't regard them. God says, I don't remember them, and I do not revisit them. They are gone. They are gone. Let me wind this up by two important observations. First of all, either God covers our sin, or we will work at covering our own sin. There's something within us that tells us that sin has to be covered, and either we let God do it or else we are going to do it. And we do it by denial, dishonesty. We do it by deceit. We take that dog and we bury him in the yard every evening, and we're saying, this time he is dead and buried. And then by morning, there he is, back on the front yard, wagging his tail, saying, hoo-hoo, I'm still here. Before David confessed his sin, he said, my sin is ever before me. It's there all the time. The phone rings and I wonder who knows. Someone comes to me with a problem and I'm saying to myself, I wonder if he knows. The sin is there. It is this distraction. It is there all the time. It plagues me. And so what we do is we say to ourselves, I'm going to manage it, I'm going to stifle it, I'm going to cover it. And God says, he who covers his sin shall not prosper, but he whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall find mercy. I personally would much rather have God cover my sin than me attempt to do it. There's a second lesson, and that is that repentance is really liberating. Why do we hang on to all that stuff? Why do we hang on to our sin? Why do we say to ourselves, even as Christians, I'm wandering away from God, I am living in carnality, but here's where I'm going to live, and I'm not going to come and receive God's forgiveness. I'm not going to humble myself and repent. Why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we torture ourselves? When God says, I have a cleansed conscience waiting for you. I have freedom. In the Bible, sin is often spoken of as a sickness. It's also spoken of as a huge load. You remember in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, a burden. Paul called it the burden of death, the body of this death, like a dead body strapped across your back and you have to walk. The Apostle Paul says that this is the burden of sin. And then you come to Christ and the burden is lifted and the sin is forgiven and the weight is gone and the freedom is there and the joy returns. Because the longer we postpone our repentance, the longer we postpone our joy. God says you can be forgiven. Yes, Bob Green can be redeemed. He can be redeemed as he comes to the cross to receive that forgiveness. He can be redeemed. He can be accepted by God. The guilt can be taken away because God is in the business of forgiving his people. Centuries ago, John Donne pondered the state of his soul and he said, oh, my sinful soul, now thou art summoned. He was talking about sickness, and he knew that after his sickness, death would be there. His soul was being summoned, and he begins to think to himself, what will it be like on the other side? He looks within his soul, and he sees envy and selfishness and pride. He sees his sin, and he thinks to himself, must I die in such despair? The answer is no, because he realized that in a mysterious, powerful way, when we come to the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and that blood we shall honor as we have communion together today. As we come, we receive a pardon and a cleansing which wipes the slate clean so that we can be in fellowship with the living God and die with the knowledge that we're saved and forgiven on the basis of Christ's merit. That's why we sing, He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Just imagine what God can do with forgiven sin. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we ask that you shall use these moments as moments of deliverance. People plagued by the past, people burdened with memories, sins that have been confessed, continually relived, dug up one more time. Oh, Father, come and set your people free. Grant us joy and freedom in our relationships because we have been forgiven. We thank you. Father, and even as individually we confess our sins, we pray for ourselves as a congregation, even as Israel, that as a congregation confessed its sins. Come and cleanse us corporately. Cleanse us, oh Father, we ask, that we might be free. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. This is Pastor Lutzer. One of the questions I am often asked is this: how can I know that I am forgiven? Good question. Listen carefully. If you believe that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did all that ever will be necessary for you to stand holy in God's presence, if you believe that through his death and resurrection he made that provision, and then you embrace Christ as Savior, as your sin bearer, then you will not only be forgiven, but you will know it. And the assurance comes not by looking into your heart and thinking about how good a person you might or might not be. The assurance comes because of the merit of Jesus and your confidence that Jesus did all that God will ever require on your behalf. That's the way assurance comes, my friend. Right now, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, today is the time to simply bow your head wherever you may be and say, Jesus, today I receive you as my sin bearer. I believe that you did all that God will require on my behalf, and I accept you as mine. Would you pray that prayer right now?
A good question from Dr. Erwin Lutzer as he wraps up his teaching on what God does with forgiven sin, the third of six messages on After You've Blown It, Reconnecting with God and Others. Despite being forgiven, many of us find ourselves mired in the same sins over and over. Tomorrow, don't miss So You've Done It Again. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. This current series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. Also, it's in print as a Multnomah Life Change book. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. When you call, ask about the series After You've Blown It. For information on other resources, go to our website. You'll find us at runningtowin.org. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's edition of Running to Win.